Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We invite you to come and worship with us Sundays 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.org. That address again, www.lindenurc.org. An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, greetings. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio. We are thankful that you have tuned in today, and we always want to encourage you to visit our website at agradio.org. Again, that web address is agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. And we also want to say thank you to all of you who have been longtime supporters of Abounding Grace Radio, who have prayed for us, and who have supported us financially. We are very thankful to the Lord for your generosity, and you're welcome to go on that website and download all the podcasts and the messages that come on Abounding Grace each and every week. They are yours free for download to listen to at your convenience. So again, thanks for tuning in today, and this week on Abounding Grace, we're going to look at the heart of the book of Romans. The thesis statement of the book of Romans. A beautiful statement is made in verse 16 of chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. One of the real tragedies of Christianity today is that it seems to be that so many people are struggling to find meaning and to find real power to their Christianity. It's been something that I have constantly addressed on Abounding Grace Radio. We are so faddy today. Go into the Christian bookstore, you'll see it. Fads and icons and all sorts of things just to get spirituality, new kind of prayers and 40 days of this and everything to be purposeful, everything to be alive, everything to be life-giving. This is the contemporary Christian world in which we live. So what are we after today? What do we want? Well, we know. It's all summarized in that book, Your Best Life Now. That is the goal for Christianity today. It sells very well in a Western culture where a lot of money has been here for a long time. People have been prosperous. People have done well. And hey, if we can somehow inculcate and bring that into the Christian message and tell people that that's what Christianity is supporting, it'll win. It's sad when I hear that that kind of message is breaking into Africa, where all of these starving people and hurting people and suffering people have bought into this health and wealth American message. They're grasping. They want out. They want freedom. They want comfort. And the sad reality is this world can never really afford it. This world can never really give it. And so here we sit. We're just waiting for some new book to come out, some new pastor, some new guy, some new idea, just to kickstart our churches, kickstart Christianity, and make us powerful. I suggest we're getting to the really close to what the major problem is in Christianity today. It's been correctly observed that Christianity today is about personalities. It's about plans. It's about programs. It's about buildings. It's about books and so on. I'll never forget driving past a church on a Saturday night before Sunday, and there was the pastor out spray painting and decorating and drawing, making a big production for Sunday. We are so thirsty today. We are so hungry. And years later, here we sit, still asking the same old questions, facing the same old struggles. Why isn't this working for us and our children? Where is that which is lasting? Where is that which is real? Where is that which is unchanging? When will we wake up and ask these sort of questions and begin to see we are starving out there? Jesus said that he wrote things, that he gave us his book, his word, that our joy would be complete. Where's that joy? Take 2 Corinthians. We read that in our weakness there is strength. Where's the strength? Where is, as the scriptures call, this exceeding greatness of power that God has promised toward us who believe? I want it. I want for all of us, every single one of us listening today, a meaningful, a vibrant Christianity that, yes, is making an impact. Of course we want that. We're not promoting dry, boring, powerless Christianity. My question is, why haven't we stopped and ask the right, where God has told us is the right place to find it? Christianity today has demonstrated wrong priority. We've forgotten what this is about. And because of this problem, I believe there's no place better to go than to the book of Romans to understand this. I believe what Paul is doing is setting before these Christians in Rome what it is all about. We don't know much about how this church formed, but we do know that at Pentecost, there was a little statement made that there were visitors there from Rome. They went back to this capital city of the Roman Empire, and there they founded a church. Their faith, in verse 8 of Romans 1, was being spoken of all throughout the world. The Lord did something amazing in Rome. This church sat in the middle of the capital of the Roman Empire. Everyone traveled in and out of there. The pressures were immense. Rome, despite appearances, was a wicked city. And what the Spirit obviously wanted for this church was to understand in the most comprehensive way what Christianity is all about. And that's why I'm rehearsing our struggle today. That's why I'm trying to reorient us to what this is all about, because the apostle was doing that. The scriptures are doing that. We forget just exactly what is the mission and the purpose of Christianity. Martin Luther used to say about Romans that it is the chief part of the New Testament, the very purest gospel. The Reformers believe that this book was the single God-given key to understand all of the scriptures. It defined Christianity. Why? Because Romans tells us that Christianity is about God's eternal Son. And everything about who we are, what we believe, how we live, has to do with Jesus Christ, our claims about Him, our communion with Him. In the heart of the preface, there is one word that stands out to me today. There's one word that stands out that we need to consider. It is the word power. The Apostle Paul said that there is an exceeding greatness of power that is made available to us. What is that power? What is the power that the Apostle is here talking about? Well, it's interesting in verse 8 that the Apostle Paul said that I want to come to you in Rome and preach the gospel to you. You know, dear listener, this is God's chosen power, his dynamite, his dunamis to save. It's that word dunamis, which means the dynamite of God. This is the dynamite of God to save. And that's why Paul would remind the Corinthian church that it always pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And you see, now we understand what he's saying in Romans 1, verses 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. This is why Paul says, I want to come preach it. This message, when it's preached, is God's chosen power to save. Now, let me just close the message today with a few thoughts on this. If this is God's power, and I began this whole radio address today talking about how we're searching for prayers of Jabez and 40 days of purpose, and I mean, I know this stuff's old now, but at one time, this was the stuff. And today, we're after something new, and we're looking, and we're looking, and we're looking. Paul just told us, it is God's power to save. The foolishness of the message preached. I want to preach, this message is God's dynamite. It's sad today how little attention we give to preaching, don't we? We're programmed to think that all the really powerful stuff happens outside the church. This is what all the false teachers have taught us today. It's a really strange phenomenon. But just follow my line of reasoning for a minute. Have you ever thought about how much time in the course of your life you will sit and listen to preaching? Let me break it down for you. Let's just say that the minister's sermons are 30 minutes. Let's say that you come to two a week. So that would make 1 hour a week, 52 Lord's Days per year. That means you get 52 hours of preaching, just a little over 2 days in a 365-day year, right? Now check my math. Most churches today have dropped the second service. Remember, across denominational lines years ago, on a given Lord's Day, you had two services. So for most confessing Christians today, you've cut that in half. They've got better things to do with their time. 26 hours of preaching per year. Now that's a little over 1 day. Now that is assuming that a pastor is actually preaching a text of scripture and giving himself to do what the apostle Paul said, "Woe is me if I do not preach Jesus Christ and him crucified." But we have assumed today, haven't we? We've assumed that people can't listen to the pure preaching of the text. So the pastor now has to pick his topic. So he puts that on the church sign. This is the topic we're going to preach. So he fills the time with his nice topic that he's imposed on the text. He uses a few verses out of the text to support his chosen topic. And along with that, he fills it with personal stories. So let's be generous. The average churchgoer, if he is faithful at attending one service, gets 20 minutes of preaching per week. Let's be generous. That calculates to just over two normal 8-hour working days per year. Now, here's my point. Do you know what Paul is setting before us here in Romans 1? He is setting before you, dear listener, what the heart of the Christian religion is. He tells us God is pleased to save through the foolishness of the message preached. This is his dynamite. That's power. The word there for power is dunamis in the Greek. It's the dynamite of God, this message of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul says in verse 8, I just want to be in Rome and preach to you. These few verses in the opening part of the book of Romans unpack for us how someone is saved from their sins. And you see, what is so moving about the whole theme of Romans that is given here is that we have the way that God saves, the message that God saves with, and how we make it ours. It's so beautiful. What a wonderful truth here. God saves through the foolishness of the message preached, that whosoever receives and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ in true faith, in other words, they deny themselves, they say that they cannot work to save themselves, they trust in his powerful life, death, and resurrection as the minister expounds the scriptures to show forth the person and the work of Jesus from the Old Testament and the New. Faith is created in the heart of the hearer by the Holy Spirit. He responds and believes. And Apostle Paul just said, this is God's power to save. We need to get back to the preaching of the gospel. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program, and we do ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support to keep these radio broadcasts coming to you. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.